Canadian economist Sylvain Charlebois delivered the keynote at the North American Tea Conference and spoke afterwards with TBiz. Here are a few excerpts from his presentation.
So, I'm an economist. I'm not a tea expert. So, I do study food, but I do study a lot of different food. Tea is a first for me. I actually enjoy tea, but tea, to me, has always been a fascinating industry. And when you look at global issues, when you look at where the market is going, I see a lot of positives for your product in particular. And I'm very objective. I don't own a company. I don't own a tea company. I'm not invested in tea at all. I'm just looking at the tea leaves. So let's talk about inflation. Inflation obviously is an economic disease, if I can coin, that term was coined by Milton Friedman many, many years ago, and I actually agree with him. In this case, it's self-inflicted, but we have to deal with inflation. Inflation is a big problem, and a lot of people are referring to 1981, early 1990s, early 1980s. The difference between then and now is that now inflation is lingering. In Canada, for the 13th month in a row, we've seen food inflation exceed the general inflation rate. So when people go to the grocery store, they are absolutely spooked because they know everything is more expensive everywhere, but at the grocery store, it's even worse, much worse. If you're wondering what's going on in the US, it's very similar. I think there was one exception in July, and that's it. But in the last 12 months, most of the time, the food inflation rate, that was in Florida for 6 months in the winter, I saw it happen. The food inflation rate has exceeded the inflation rate. So in other words, especially with what's going on with interest rates, every single consumer are trying to recalibrate their budget just because they have to make sure they have a roof on the top of their head and they have to feed themselves. So that portion of the budget is increasing by the day. And we know the Fed is actually going to increase its benchmark. So in the tea business, I would ask myself, okay, are we going to go back to 35? The answer is not in the near future. No. We actually think it's going to take at least 3 to 4 years to get there. It's going to take some time to actually go back to where we were before COVID. Wait. And that's going to actually change the way you see the market. Are people going to go up or stay in? And I think the staying in is going to actually become more and more interesting. So people are ordering more food online. People love to grocery shop in their pajamas, in their kitchen, over the counter. It's all done. And it's delivered within 2 hours. We were lucky to get our food within 2 days before COVID. We were happy dancing. Now we're upset if it doesn't come in within 2 hours. So the industry has picked up the pace, and people are noticing, and expectations are changing. In some parts of the country, we now have companies delivering food within 15 minutes. Ninja is an example. 15 minutes. So expectations are absolutely changing. It's incredible, and it's happening fast. Supply challenges, I think a lot of our speakers have actually talked about that. It's a lingering issue, of course. To move anything around the world on water and on land, it's costing way more than 2.5 years ago, but it's costing less now than 6 months ago. So things are improving slowly. And I think this is my own opinion. I actually think, COVID really didn't help. What has been underappreciated by the public and to a certain extent by governments is that to change rules every couple of days became a huge burden on the food industry. Predictability is an asset that was underappreciated by governments. And now we're paying for it. The macro dynamic around commodities is going to get a little bit more complicated in the fall and in the winter as well. And finally, of course, climate change and the carbon tax and all that stuff. Before there was a carbon market, essentially, companies just looked at the world like a table and water. You put water on the table, water always went to the lowest place as possible. And so companies designed a global supply chain and went to the cheapest place to package, went to the cheapest place to buy this, to do that. That's how we designed global supply chains over the last 70 years, since the end of the Industrial Revolution. That's how it worked. Not anymore. That model is making less and less sense with a carbon market. Whether you like it or not, whether you like the carbon or not, I don't think it's going to go away. And companies are going to have to deal with it. So my guess is that how you service different markets around the world is going to change based on the policies that we actually see related to climate change issues. And tea is a global market. You are not immune to this. It's going to impact you absolutely. And I think you kind of have to think about that as you grow your business. So that's basically what I have for now as my opening act.
Thank you, Sylvain, for sharing your insights. I just have a couple of additional questions. Oversupply is a concern in the tea industry. In many tea lands, due to rising cost of labor, the price of fertilizer, and the cost of transport, farm gate prices are at or below the cost of production. At the government level, foreign exchange earnings are a priority. Small growers, who now produce the majority of the world's tea, often increase the amount of leaves they harvest, lowering quality. Will you talk about supply and demand from your vantage?
I think in many crops, often production is not synchronized with demand. So instead of adopting a supply management paradigm, they should actually look more for a demand chain management paradigm, understanding the market, how fragmented it should be, to raise the bar, because you have, I mean, what's a premium product in tea? Like, can we define that? What does that mean? And how people, what's the value add? What's the value proposition? And why people would pay more for tea versus...
It tastes better.
There are different reasons why people are paying more.
Right.
But is it recognized by the masses? But that's why there's going to be growth in tea. There's going to be growth in tea. And it's happening. What is going on with the young generations that didn't happen with the other ones? I'd be curious to know.
Certification, okay. Organic, you know, a premium label,
so
right?
So they're willing to pay for that.
A third party, right, fair trade.
Fair trade.
Second, the
production. Because in bananas, that's what we see with fair trade. The fair trade is actually playing a bigger role now.
Right. Yeah. Let's talk about demand.
Well, I mean, first of all, I think we need to look at the fundamentals. Price. That's a big one. Now, tea is relatively cheap, but it's going up in price, and inflation is impacting how people buy choices as well, in my view. Interest rates are going up everywhere, North America, and so most households are recalibrating how they spend money, including on beverages and tea. So that's an unknown right now, I think. The other issue, I think, that is, and we'll talk about this afternoon, is the work from home phenomenon. We saw that during COVID. Tea sales skyrocketed in 2020. The market was more domesticated. 2021 was hit and miss. But this is the big question mark. I think everyone in the food industry should ask themselves, how will the market look like, the workforce look like in 2024, 2025, when more people, we actually expect that 40% of the workforce in North America will spend at least one day a week, minimum one day a week at home working. And as soon as you're home more often, your relationship with food completely changes, including the choice of beverage that you'll take, when you drink it, how you prepare it, how much time you spend. I think tea has an advantage over other beverages when it comes to a more domesticated market, in my view, because you can actually, there's some design that is required, the experience and flavor. In a restaurant, it can come, you know, at the end of the meal, it can go for, people can go off for tea, but it's not the same thing. At home, you can actually treat yourself. You can actually make it more, almost an event, whether it's friends or on your own. So I actually think that it is a bit of an advantage for tea to see a more domesticated marketplace. That's just my opinion.